Well, let's open our hands, friends, and more importantly, our hearts to the Lord as we receive the gift of His Word this morning. Father, our natural inclination is to rely on ourselves. It's to trust our own wisdom, to trust our own strength, to trust what our hands can do to save. But then we run up against an unseen enemy, a novel viral strain against which we seemingly have no defense, and we are reminded of how truly weak and frail we are. Thankfully, Father, we are not alone in this fight. Thankfully, you stand with us, and your power alone can this sore bondage break. And so, Father, we ask this morning that you would break the chains of fear and anxiety, that you break the chains of depression and despair, that you'd break the chains of sickness and disease and death. Set us free by setting our eyes on Jesus, the author of our salvation in this world and the next. This we pray in his matchless name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, how many of you have ever found yourself in need of saving? I mean, like really saving. Maybe you fell into the deep end of the pool before you could swim, or maybe when you were young, you got lost riding your bike around the neighborhood, or maybe you found yourself in a bad part of town at the wrong time of night. Whatever it was, I think we can probably all remember a time when we were so scared, so frightened, so anxious we could taste it. Our chest got tight, breathing became labored, blood flowed to our muscles as the adrenaline kicked in. I remember a time we were hiking up Pikes Peak when I was in middle school, and we started from the 26-mile round-trip trailhead, of course, because my dad loved his death marches, and we got started early one morning around 1 or 2 a.m. Now, as you can imagine, as a 7th or 8th grader, I wasn't real happy about this. I didn't bounce out of bed that morning, didn't have the best attitude. In fact, some of the most fervent prayers of my life were said while we were sleeping in the tent before one of these long hikes. I would just pray that God would not allow Dad's alarm to go off. God never really answered those prayers. Anyway, up the trail we went, and again, I wasn't real happy, so I hiked on ahead, working out my frustrations. I was the oldest of three brothers, and so I would leave my dad and my two brothers in the dust and stomp up the trail there. Well, on this particular hike, I had gotten a little too far ahead. It was pitch black out. I soon found myself all alone, and that's when things got a little creepy. Began to hear some noises, began to hear these grunts and these growls, and I just got paralyzed with fear. My mind started imagining every catastrophic scenario possible. I thought I was going to get eaten by a bear for sure, and so I started yelling at the top of my lungs, "Save me, Dad! Save me! Save me!" And my dad, to his everlasting credit, came running up that trail as fast as he could, and as he rounded the bend, I'm not sure what he expected to find, except there was his oldest son, squared off against a little Jack Russell Terrier. The next thing I heard were voices all around me asking if I was okay. Turns out I was standing in the middle of a campground, and I'd woken everybody up about 3 a.m. And it was like the most embarrassing experience of my life. But it was probably also the only time in my life where I truly cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Word Hosanna is probably one of the most misunderstood in all of Scripture. Usually we associate it, of course, with children coming in, processing into the sanctuary, waving their palms. On this particular Sunday every year, we sing the word over and over again as an offering of praise, almost like it's synonymous with hallelujah. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Hosanna is the transliteration of a Hebrew word which literally means save. Save. It's a gut-wrenching cry that wells up from the depths of one's soul. It is ripped from our lips in the most dangerous of times. It is visceral, the most primal of screams. Whether we know it or not, this is the word we use when things are at their very worst, when the world is at its darkest, when circumstances are at their most desperate. I think of a friend of mine in Rwanda who was 8 years old during the genocide. And he was hiding out with his Tutsi family in the banana plantation of a sympathetic Hutu in his village. And that's where the death squads came and they found him. They killed his father in front of him. They were about to kill him and his mother and his sisters when the Hutu sympathizer intervened, traded his own life for theirs. And throughout the entire encounter, Pastor Shema recalls praying over and over and over again, "Save us, Jesus. Save us." In other words, Hosanna. I think of Chinese students I spent time with a few years ago, and these are college students at the elite universities in their country. They gave us a tour of their campuses, talked to us about their educational interests, shared their stories with us. You know, the pressure on these kids is enormous. Because of the one-child policy China has pursued for so many years, they literally carry their family's hopes and dreams on their shoulders. Their family honor is at stake with every test, every project, every assignment, and the depression and suicide rate is incredibly high among their peers. And as we worshiped alongside them and talked to them about their faith, spent time in their apartments in small groups, speaking in hushed tones under the constant threat that we might be discovered, we heard them say over and over and over again in their own language, "Save us, Jesus, save us." In other words, Hosanna. In recent years, I've stood in mud huts on hillsides in the fields of eastern and southern Ethiopia, worshiping alongside some of the poorest people in the world. Their lives are hard. Their life expectancy is low. They don't have access to modern health care. Their livelihoods depend on the rains that come each year. When there is drought, their herds die. When swarms of locusts come, as they have this year, their crops get destroyed. They suffer. They struggle. Life is a daily battle for survival. And yet, as we worship together in our different languages, coming from wildly different cultures and backgrounds, the theme is always the same. Save us, Jesus. Save us. In other words, say it with me, Hosanna. Hosanna, that's right. Give you one more. This past week, I corresponded with Christian brothers and sisters from Bangladesh and Brazil and Bolivia and Cambodia, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, Rwanda, and Ireland, mission partners of our church all around the world. And I wanted to know how the pandemic was impacting their countries, their lives, their ministries. I wanted to know, what were they seeing? What were they observing? And for those who were able to get back with me, they let me know of their deep struggles. John is worried about his daughter, who, because of her special needs, is incredibly vulnerable to the disease. Peter is worried about the virus hitting the slums of his country. Kifle, Sylvester, and Martine, who lead our Petros network teams in the Horn of Africa, shared with me how difficult the choice will be between staying at home without food and continuing to risk exposure by going to work. Bishop John shared with me the plight of the Batwa people as they face starvation now that that country is locked down. Randy and Danny are walking hours and hours to get food and are only allowed to leave their homes once a week, and they have family who have contracted the virus as well. All of them are deeply concerned about the welfare and the future of their people, and yet, as I read each one of their emails, they all shared a common theme: Hosanna. Save us, Jesus. Save us. All of us can identify, I think, right? All of us know people, or maybe even have loved ones who have the disease. I mean, how many of us know coworkers or have friends who've been laid off? How many of us are struggling financially or maybe with our own health now that elective surgeries have been canceled and we have to suffer until the worst of the disease passes? How many of us have had loved ones die and we can't be at their side? Or how many of us have family in different parts of the world whom we're very worried about? How many of us are praying every single night, "Save us, Jesus, save us"? We're learning to sing Hosanna in the depths of our fear and anxiety, our struggle and our suffering. And friends, there may never be a better time to preach the traditional Palm Sunday text than right now, in this cultural moment, in the midst of this crisis that's impacting every single one of us. You know, preaching Palm Sunday in the midst of a pandemic, I got to tell you, it's humbling as well as inspiring to think of God's people around the world joining their voices together to sing Hosanna. From the slums of Addis Ababa to the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies, from the halls of power in D.C. all the way to the mud huts of the Batwa Aborigines in Rwanda, from the suburban towns like Parker to the urban centers of India, from those who have homes to those who don't have homes, from those with full pantries to those who have nothing to eat, to those with jobs, to those who don't have jobs, those whose prospects have gone up, those for whom everything has been lost, those who are sick, those who are well, all of us crying the same cry. It's amazing. Hosanna. Save us, O Son of David. Rescue us, O God Most High. Deliver us from this disease. Put an end to this plague. This cry comes from, again, the deepest recesses of our beings. We're all on that Jerusalem road now. All of us there crying out to Jesus. All of us in need of the same saving grace. All of us in need of the same protection, the same provision, the same salvation. This virus has leveled the playing field. None of us are immune. It is no respecter of persons. Our power will not save us. Our wealth will not save us. Our fame will not save us. Our position will not save us. Our healthcare professionals, as awesome as they are and as hard as they work, cannot save us. Only Christ can save us. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can finally bring an end to this disease. We have come to the end of ourselves. We've come to the end of our resources, the end of our strength, the end of our power. The illusion's been shattered, the facade torn down. That fantasy world that we've been living in has given way to the harsh reality of this broken world. And here at the end of all things, we find this one sure and certain hope. We belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so with that introduction, let's turn to the text. And let's hear these familiar words again. And maybe let them sink in for the very first time. Open your Bibles or Bible apps to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. If you're new to the Bible, it's in the second half of the book. It's the first book of the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew, again, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, there Jesus sent two disciples on ahead, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Now I want to camp out here in verse 9 and really dive in again to what it means to sing Hosanna this morning. Why did the Israelites choose this particular song? Of all the things they could have said, of all the songs they could have sung, of all the Old Testament texts they could have drawn on, why these words from Psalm 118? Well, you see, 200 years prior to Jesus' triumphal entry, another Messiah approached Jerusalem by the same route. His name was Judas Maccabeus, a freedom fighter who came to set the people free from their pagan Syrian overlords. He entered Jerusalem in much the way that Jesus did, people singing hymns and waving palms. And when Judas arrived, he won a great victory. He kicked out the Syrian king, recaptured the temple, cleansed the city, and restored the nation of Israel to independence for about 100 years until the Romans came and took things back over. Now, fighting foreign powers was nothing new to Israel. In fact, according to eminent New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, every 44 years out of the last 4,000, think about that, every 44 years out of the last 4,000, on average, an army has marched through Israel, whether to conquer it, to rescue it from someone else, to use it as a neutral battleground to fight a different enemy, or to take advantage of it as a natural route for getting somewhere else to fight. Imagine that. Every 44 years, two decades, each generation seeing and experiencing war for 4,000 years. No wonder the people thronged to the streets that day to cry out, Hosanna to Jesus. They had heard the stories about the miracles Jesus had performed. In fact, Lazarus has barely adjusted to being raised from the dead when Jesus makes this move into town. The people thought for sure Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one come to deliver his people like Moses, like David, like the Maccabees, like the great heroes of their past. And so they choose to sing Psalm 118 over him, a psalm of deliverance, a psalm of salvation, a psalm that describes their suffering, an enemy swarming like bees, like a raging fire among the thorns. They're surrounded. They're on the brink of despair. And that's when God steps in. Wipes out the enemy, delivers his people, saves them from destruction. And the word the psalmist uses to describe the desperate plea of God's people there is Hosanna. Hosanna. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save us, we pray, O Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, we pray, O God Most High. That is their cry on the first Palm Sunday, and it is ours as well this Palm Sunday. Amen. What then does it mean to pray this prayer? I mean, what does it mean? What do we mean when we cry out, Hosanna? Well, I think we mean three things. First and foremost, it is an acknowledgement of our weakness. It's an acknowledgement of our weakness, not what these hands have done. Amen. We just sang those words, and if we don't learn anything else from this crisis, hopefully we learn humility. The reality is far too many of us were running too fast, too hard, too hot, and this pandemic has slammed on the brakes, and our faces have hit the windshield. It has jolted us back into reality. It has jolted us to a stop. It's reminded us of what is most important: family, friends, health, rest. These things are essential to human flourishing, but we had largely ignored them to our own peril. We had bought into this lie that we were indestructible, invincible on some level, and now we know better. You know, this world can make you feel so utterly small at times, like in the wake of a hurricane or a tornado or some other natural disaster. It can make us feel so utterly weak as well, like when a novel virus begins to spread around the globe. Over 1.2 million cases spread across 180 plus countries now, with almost 65,000 deaths. And the death toll rises with each passing day. How does one even begin to prepare for something like that? And while I'm confident we'll get on top of the supply chain here in the United States and help our healthcare workers get the equipment they so desperately need, and while I'm confident that the brilliant scientists around the world will eventually land on a vaccine and other treatment options, right? What happens in the meantime? And what happens when the next one comes along, as most predict it will? Will we have learned our lesson? Will life look different when this is all said and done? Will we make different choices, reorder our priorities, refuse to jump back on that hamster wheel? Will we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and trust Him that in due time He will lift us up? I pray we will. The first thing this situation reminds us, the first reason we cry Hosanna, is because of our weakness. Secondly, Hosanna is a cry for help. It's a desperate prayer for desperate times, and these are desperate times, friends. Good news, of course, is that it is a prayer God hears and loves to answer. The glorious truth we celebrate on Palm Sunday is this, that Jesus has come to save his people. Jesus is the answer to our Hosannas. He has come to set us free from the tyranny of sin and evil and death. You see, our greatest need, friends, is not our health or wealth or position or power or influence or the American dream. Hopefully we are learning that right now. Hopefully we're learning there are far more important things that we need in this life, like love and joy and peace and patience. Come on, parents, I know you've been praying for patience all week, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-discipline. These are the things we need, and our God knows our needs and has promised to meet our needs. And most of all, of course, we need salvation, true shalom with God, peace with God and with each other, and only Christ can accomplish that. Only Christ can tear down the dividing walls of hostility that divide us. And if you look closely, friends, I think you can see those walls beginning to come down, can't you? Political leaders actually working together. Friends and neighbors serving one another. Social media now filled with stories of heroes literally laying down their lives for the sake of those who are sick and in need. Is this not a glimpse of the kingdom? Is this not God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? And are not more and more people crying out to God right now? It's almost like God has hardwired us for Hosanna. Amen? So Hosanna reminds us of our weakness. Hosanna is a cry for help. Third and finally, to cry Hosanna is to declare our complete confidence in Jesus. There is only one powerful enough to save, only one who can carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, only one who can heal the sick and provide for the poor and bring peace to this earth, only one who can defeat the powers of sin and evil and death, and his name is Jesus. Think about that. His very name means God saves. God saves. In response to our heart's cry, save us, O God, God sends his only begotten Son named Jesus. God saves, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever looks to him, whosoever places their trust in him, whosoever gives their life to him, whosoever fixes their eyes on him will be saved. Rescued from the brokenness of this world, delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Friends, through his death and resurrection, which we celebrate this holy week, Jesus secures a place for us in God's eternal kingdom. He is preparing a place for us in God's eternal home. So lift your eyes above the hills. Lift your eyes above the horizons of this earth. Do not cling to the things of this world. Your treasure is in heaven. And your treasure is Jesus. And his promise is that one day he's going to come again. And the sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and he's going to come on the clouds with fire. New Jerusalem will descend. Heaven will finally come to earth, and all things will be made new. And on that great day, God promises an end to all disease. God promises an end to every plague, an end to every sickness. Every tear will be wiped away. Every pain erased. Every suffering will cease. Jesus will reign and rule over all creation forever. Amen. Yeah, that is our hope. And that's why we can say with confidence that we belong again, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Hosanna. Let me ask the worship team to come back up as they do. What does that mean then for the here and now? Does that mean we just sort of sit back and wait? Do nothing until he comes? Kind of put our head down and just sort of muddle through? Of course not. Jesus has made us into living temples. Jesus has filled us with his Holy Spirit. Jesus has set us apart as saints for his work in this world. Now is the time, friends, for the church to be the light of the world. Now is the time, friends, for the church to be the salt of the earth, to show the world how to walk by faith, not by sight. So keep praying, friends. Stay on your knees before the Lord. Talk to him. Share your fears and anxieties with him. Share your frustration and anger with him. God's a big boy. He can handle it. Trust me. Share everything with him. Cry out, Hosanna, and let him fill you with his comfort and peace. And then keep connecting. Do not underestimate the power, friends, of a phone call, the power of a FaceTime call. Call your family, call your friends, call your neighbors, call your coworkers, especially those who may be alone during this season. Call those who are in your sphere of influence. Check on them. Let them hear your voice. Let them see your face. And finally, keep looking for ways to serve. Be generous with the resources you have. Sacrificial with your time. Do what you can for those who are serving on the front lines. Give what you can to those who are less fortunate. And we'll keep sharing with you the opportunities that we know about that come our way. You know, in the bulletin we sent out this week, you can see the contact information for the Denver Rescue Mission and C-Corps and the Parker Task Force. Connect with them, friends. Find out what you can do. Here's another easy way to serve. One of our young people, Bree Doomer, is a CNA at Parker Adventist Hospital, and she put out a call this week for healthy snacks to fill the break rooms of that hospital. Immunity boosters and protein bars and fruit and protein powder, that kind of thing. So if you want to grab some of those the next time you're out at a grocery store, drop them off here at the Student Center lobby up on the hill. We'll make sure that she gets those. And we can serve those, again, who are battling this disease on the front lines. Friends, now more than ever, the world is crying out, Hosanna, save us. May we answer her call in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you have provided in so many ways, and you've given us so many opportunities to serve. And as we lean in together, as we link arms, God, with our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and our family and those we know, not just here locally, but across the state, across the nation, really even across the world, we give you praise, God, because we know you're going to do a mighty work in and through us. And we pray, God, that we would simply offer our lives back to you, that we would cry out, Hosanna, in faith, trusting you to answer that prayer, to answer our call. To save us, God, to deliver us, and help us be the hands and feet of Jesus so that others may experience that salvation as well. Father, we give you thanks for these things. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.